Have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 16. So the question that we ask is, who do you think Jesus is actually was asked a long time ago. It was way before here. It's amazing that Jesus himself asked his disciples this question. He asked particularly one person specifically. And this is where we pick up this morning. So chapter 16, verse 18. Now Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. And he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So you see, when this question is asked, and it's been a question that people ask often, well, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think the Son of Man is? And what do you think about him? Now, I propose to you there's a problem with that question in the fact that it doesn't matter what you think about that question. For some reason, we have become so arrogant as a nation and as a people that we think somehow what we feel about Jesus or what we feel about God matters, and it doesn't. That's why God wrote the scriptures is so that we would know specifically who he was and what this is all about. We don't get to accumulate our opinions. Opinions will just send you to hell faster than anything. But it's only truth that relieves you from that burden of sin and truth that gives you and sets you on the right path towards salvation. But again, you can see here, when he asks, you know, we hear some people saying you're John the Baptist, you know, that you're Elijah, that you're just a prophet, that, you know, you're just this. But no, I know that's what they're saying about me. But then he goes on further and he says, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Wow. And Simon Peter spoke up and answered. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In all my explanations there, I didn't hear any of that, even from the Episcopal president. He did not say that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We first have to know who he is. Because if he's not who God says he is, then you and I are still hopelessly, helplessly lost. And mankind has already been judged. We will fall under the wrath of Almighty God, and we will be destroyed in eternity forever. And when we die, we go to a place called hell, where the worm never dies, the thirst is never quenched, and there's agony all the time. He is the Son of God. In Scripture, it's very plain that that's who he is. And he has to be the Son of God because the Son of God was mean he was fathered by God. There was this miraculous birth. You see, it was a virgin birth. The Old Testament talked about this all the time, that he was going to be sending his son through this incredible, miraculous birth, a virgin birth, because the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary, and she would conceive and bear a child, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God is with us. So God became human flesh in the form of his son so that he might be able to live a perfect life. I guess you heard about the percentage, 50s and 60% of the people believed that Jesus committed sin. Well, I think I read back in Scripture that says that he was tempted in every way that man could be tempted, but he was without sin. That he was spotless. He was blameless. He was the purity of God in the flesh. He was 100% flesh submitted to God because his nature, his heart was God. This is why the new birth experience is so critical in the life of the child of God. And when we're explaining who Jesus Christ is that if we have not been born again from the Father above and impregnated by the Holy Spirit who lives now within us, and now we have the heart of God, see, then we're different than Jesus. We're still a man. It's the nature that made Jesus special. He had the character, the nature, the desire of the Father. And that's what happens with the new birth experience is we obtain now that nature within us, that now we allow the Holy Spirit to kill the old nature, which doesn't understand anything spiritually. That's why the men that wrote these and the men that conducted these questionnaires don't have the Holy Spirit in them, because they didn't ask the right questions, you see. And you understand the enthusiasm that he said, because Jesus is still on the minds of people. But it doesn't matter if Jesus is on the minds of people, it's in the heart of people. And the only way you can have that relationship as if you are born again, and we saw that. But here's his amazing thing: is you're the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." Listen to this, please. "Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." See, our movies, our narratives, our vacation Bible schools, where we put Jesus into a cartoon character, where the kids don't know him from Spider-Man or any of the other hero characters. We've brought him to be like us when he's not like us at all. The only reason he became man is so that he could fulfill the law and become the perfect lamb to be slaughtered for the sins of the world and sins of man. That was his only purpose for becoming man, because there was not a man alive that could keep the commandments of God. We all fall short of God's glory. And it's amazing here that Jesus even had to tell him where he got this from. You didn't come to this on your own accord. See, if you're doing a Bible study and you're going to a seminary and you're thinking that that's going to give you what you need for salvation, it's not going to. If it's not revealed to you from Heavenly Father, then you don't have what the Scripture says you must have. You see, I hear all the time people say, "I found Jesus." Or I've made a... Did you hear about the commitment in the questionnaire read that all the people, that most Americans have made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Show me in Scripture where it says we're to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. I just want some theologian to email me or text me that might hear this sermon to tell me where in Scripture does it say that we are to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. There's not one. You won't find it. You won't back it up in God's doctrine. But you'll find it all the time in man's doctrine. See, man uses the doctrines to control the people that they sit under. Do you understand that? The Catholics teach Catholic doctrine. The Baptists teach Baptist doctrine. The Methodists teach Methodist doctrine so they can control the people that are under them. If I tell you you can lose your salvation if you don't act good and don't give a lot of money, then you're going to act good and you're going to give a lot of money. I'm controlling you. Okay? You got to see that all this fake doctrine out there, that their teaching has come from man and only from man, because God only teaches one thing. It teaches that his son was perfect, was born and lived a sinless life, and was put upon a cross so that we might become the righteousness of God. He was raised by God after the third day, showing God's approval for the sacrifice for sin, so that man would have a chance to become holy themselves. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Wow. And it was revealed to you by my Father. What you have, where did you get it? You don't have to raise your hands, but I want you to think for a moment what you think you have, your relationship that you think you have. Where did you get this information, and how did you come to the conclusion that you're a child of God? I want to know that. No, I want you to know that. How did you surmise that you're okay, and like these people in this survey, that they all think because they made a commitment to Jesus Christ that they're going to heaven when they die? Where in the world did you get and are comfortable in the fact that you sit there and you say, yes, I'm going to heaven? No, wouldn't you rather be a child of God and know that you're a child of God, and so your destiny doesn't matter because it's going to be good? See, when we focus on the fact of I'm going to heaven instead of who I am, if I focus on who I am, I don't have to worry about where I'm going. But all these people that have made commitments to Jesus Christ, when the Bible didn't say anything about making a commitment to Jesus Christ, what does a commitment mean? I'm going to do all my humanly, fleshly efforts to try to be good. And God says, no one's good, no, not one. Isaiah even said, my righteousness is like filthy rags. There's no one that seeks after God, no, not one. See, when you're seeking to go to heaven, you're not seeking after God. You're seeking for self-preservation. Especially when you say, I can't wait to go to heaven so I can hug my neighbor or hug my relative or hug or see my, you know, the first person I want to see is Uncle Johnny. I'm sorry, folks. We have so allowed man to teach us wrong over all these years, and no one is standing up and teaching what the Word of God says. If all the Americans that they say in this study have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, then why are we morally going down the tubes faster now than we have any time in our world? Explain it to me. It doesn't make sense if you just sit back and even use your common sense that this can't be right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 18. You want to know why we have this? You want to know why we have all these surveys? And there's a bunch of other surveys online if you want to go on online and read on it to see what people are saying about Jesus Christ and how people believe that it's a personal relationship and you get there your own way, when Jesus Christ said, I am the only way. There's no other way to the Father but by me. And here's why. I mean, what I love about Scripture, it answers all the questions. And you can take, if you just open this up and sit down and read these things and then open the Word of God, and you can see where the truth of God just annihilates all the stuff that man has, the conclusion that man comes up with. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You see, the true word of God is foolishness. So when you speak nothing but truth and you get ridiculed and people think you're crazy, you know, did you know that people thought Jesus was a madman? Did you know that even some of his disciples who followed him thought he was a madman and they stopped following him? See, for those that are being lost, for those that are going to die and go to hell, they have to grab on to religion. They have to get through life some way, through the tragedies of life some way. They have to have some false sense of security that when they stop breathing, that there's this loving God up there that absolutely just is going to hug everybody. Now, God's holy. And if he doesn't make you holy, you're not going to hug God. And the only way you can become holy is to receive the nature of God. And that's to be born again. And if you're not born again, then you're not holy. You're not complete. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those being saved, the power of God. For it is written, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. All these theologians out there, all these television preachers that are preaching something, and most are preaching something contrary to the word of God, or they wouldn't be so popular. The popular ones are not preaching the word of God. Listen to me. The popular ones are not preaching the word of God, or they wouldn't be so popular. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. God never expected us to use our technology to draw people into the kingdom of God. And the cleverness of man, the trickery, to lord it over those that are entrusted into the shepherdship, under shepherdship of a man. And should be a man, by the way. See, here's this other thing. You got these women out there that are becoming preachers and pastors. You can't do that. You might do a better job and you might be a better speaker, but that's not how God said it's going to happen. See, don't you like it? These people that claim and they're proclaiming the word of God, but they're not obedient to it. Don't you think you should at least have some reservation about listening to what they have to say when they themselves are not? Or when you go to a church and there's this young pastor that's right out of seminary, that's not married or doesn't even have a family yet, and yet God says you're not allowed to be the overseer, you're not allowed to be the under-shepherd because you haven't been proven? How in the world can you handle the household of the Lord when you can't even handle your own household? So you have to have children that believe. And you walk into a packed room where there's a mega churches and these pastors don't even have children. And yet you're going to listen to what they have to say when they themselves are not following the word of God and the instruction of the word of God. You're going to get what you deserve. God has written in his word very clearly how this all works and how we come to salvation and how we live in his righteousness by his power through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And yet we're listening to people that don't even live the examples that are set forth for them, but yet they're up here telling us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live and what the truth of God is when they themselves don't even listen to it. No wonder we're getting exactly what we deserve. And when we stand before God and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," It's because you never picked up the Word of God and read the things that I just mentioned. Don't be lazy in this matter. Pick up the Word of God for yourself and sit with Almighty God by yourself. And if you don't understand something, ask God to teach you about it. Or at least get with someone that will use the Word of God to tell you what it says and not give you an opinion. The worst place you may go is to a preacher that's trying to build his resume so he's called to a bigger church. Trying to manipulate the people into what he wants them to be instead of what God has called us to be. Where's the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? All these schemes that man uses. Let's set a theater out here and let's invite people out to a movie so that we can trickle them in to come into church, or let's get the Easter bunny to come. Let's have an Easter egg hunt. We get more people here for an Easter egg hunt than we do for the Word of God. Let's have breakfast with Santa Claus to trick them into our church. And I got a great idea. Let's have a basketball program. And at the end of it, let's trick our little kids to come in there and tell them, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to see your mom and daddy when you die? Then say a prayer with me. God loves you, and God wants you to go to heaven. No, God loves you in spite of who you are. God doesn't leave you where he found you. And he gives you a new heart so you can live righteously. But we've bought into the trickery of man and not listening to the call of God on our lives. If you're not called by God, you can't be saved. And I do believe that there's a universal call to mankind. God, Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll call all men to myself. But because we have replaced the call of God with all the technology of man, man can no longer hear when God calls. It's not that God's not calling, it's that man's not hearing. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. You can't know God by human wisdom. Just as it was revealed to Peter, by God it has to be revealed to you. And if it's not revealed to you, I don't care what other people say about you. I don't care what I say about you. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care how good of a person they call me. If I haven't been called by God and I haven't received the Holy Spirit in my life, then it doesn't matter how good of a person. It doesn't matter what you say at my funeral. He just walking the streets of gold. You don't know that. See, that's how we get comfort, isn't it? That's how we comfort people, right? Not on the Word of God and the truth of God, but we have to lie, don't we? My T-shirt. I told you about my T-shirt, didn't I? Live your life like you're supposed to so your preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. We have so many preachers that are lying from the pulpit today because they're wanting to control, not saving lives, we're controlling lives. We can only lead you to the one that can save your life. That's our responsibility, is not to correct you, not to put all this burden upon you, but it's to release the burden that you're in, to let you know that you have a burden, and to teach you to go somewhere to the one that can release you from all of this. Is our responsibility not to control you, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed the Jews asked for a sign, and the Greeks searched for wisdom. That's us. The more we educate, the more we dissect the word. Have you sat under those preachers that tell you what the Greek meaning is or the Hebrew meaning is? Have you sat under those people before and made it like if you don't understand Greek or you don't understand Hebrew that you can't know God? Because I'm smarter than you because I can read Hebrew. All those people were reading Hebrews and they were lost. So I think I can denounce that wisdom. See, God makes it all foolishness when the Pharisees and Sadducees who spoke Hebrew and all this other stuff, they didn't understand it. Why didn't they understand it? They understood what the Greek word was. They understood what the Hebrew word was. How come they don't get it? Because it wasn't revealed to them. It's real simple. It wasn't revealed to them. And it's not revealed to you, then you got to come up with something else. If you're going to keep your following, you got to come up with something else that sounds pleasing to them. Did you hear how in the report where it says that they wanted their children to know about Jesus Christ and everybody treated equal? Did you catch that? I don't see that in here. I don't see that added on. Do you? No, it didn't say treat everyone equal. No, it said you are to think of others more highly than yourself. Don't take into account a wrongdoing. Wow. See, you can take the word of God and just destroy this whole thing. These reports and all these things that they come up with. But we preach Christ crucified. See, to Jews, that's a stumbling block. And to the Gentiles, it's just plain old foolishness. But to those who are called, wow. See, don't you like how you got to be called? We have forgot this. You've got to be called. And if you're not called, and you don't hear the call, and you're not called, and you just do it because somebody convinces you that you need to do this, versus your heart is in, your soul is in agony over the sin that you've been convicted by and enlightened of. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Reality check. We're in a bad state. We're in a dangerous state. Not only for ourselves, but for our children to come. There's only one place you can go to get truth. And that's in the Word of God. That's why you've got to read the whole thing. Throw your devotion books away, please. And open God's Word with an open heart. And an open mind. He might just show you where you're at. See, these are things that are not taught anymore. Just come to our church and do what we tell you to do. I've been there. I've done that. I've lived that life. It's an empty life. Because you only get satisfaction by what you're doing. You never get satisfied in the peace of God with what you are and who you are. And I pray, don't be afraid to ask God. The peace that I have about my security, is it real? Or have I just bought into some facet, some promotion of mankind that makes me feel good about who I am? Do I hear His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I'm His child? Or do I keep going back to an emotional experience that I had? See, Jesus never defined when salvation happens. In the life of a person that's going through and becoming that disciple and being taught by God, it doesn't say that at this certain point you become saved. He says it's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it goes, but you'll know its presence. You see, all those commitments that people make might be good intentions, but it's not salvation. It may start from a commitment, but at some point, Jesus, God has to teach you. You're born into the kingdom. Because you come to church, it doesn't make you the church. Because you go to a football game, it doesn't make you a football player. Okay? You have to be born again to be a child of God.